June 2, 2019, it's the Watch from Pedro show. Watch for Pedro show. Happy Sunday. I'll see Brother Matt Thursday. Or will I? I think it's the week after. Because a bunch of noise over there. You can tell I'm not man alone, though, even though Brother Matt's out with me. Here, my pad and Pedro. By the magic of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype software, I got Chris from the Bodegas calling from Upland, California via Skype. Hey, welcome aboard, Chris.
How's it going?
I'm glad to be with you again. When was the last time you were on the show? You guys came down to Pedro from Upland, right?
I think like 2015, 2016.
So like 4 years, yeah, 3 or 4 years ago. And people, you got to understand, SoCal is kind of spread out. So for they're up by the foothills, like north of Ontario. And here I am in the harbor, so that was kind of a hell ride. So this time we're going to do it via Skype. And the big occasion, because I remember, you know, I was getting to know you then, and I said, next, when you guys get your next album done, please come on board. And you got another album done. We started the show off with John Coltrane doing The Last Blues. And then after that, from this new album by Bodegas, Plantas, which is maybe a chow song. I don't know. But let's talk about the album, okay? When did you guys start writing it?
We were writing it for like probably 2 years, I'd say, but like a lot of things happened in between all of that, that kind of like,
okay, let's talk about that then first.
Crashed all of it. So we just kind of went through the roller coaster of knowing if we're going to keep doing music anymore. You know?
Well, Chris, let's pick up when we last talked. What was the name of that album?
9 to 5,
right. After 9 to 5, what happened?
We played a lot of shows, and we just kind of got burned out on playing shows because we were just doing everything and anything and everything. And then we all just kind of were getting burned out on that, trying to write a new record. Then we kind of took a break, and then we just kind of had some problems with our old bass player, and that turned and escalated and went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then we ended up moving on without him. And trying to find a new bass player, so that took about a year.
Wow, because bass is pretty big in Bodegas.
Yeah, so that took us, you know, a couple guys just before we could feel, you know, just feel normal again. And that
were they Upland guys?
Covina, yeah.
Covina?
Everyone around the area, SGV, so I mean, like, San Gabriel Valley's pretty... It feels big, but it's pretty small when it comes to musicians because there's not a lot of musicians.
Do you guys ever say Inland Empire?
We're on the border of that.
Yeah.
I moved to Upland, and that's another thing that happened. In the interim of all this, I moved to Upland to a house with some friends. And so now Upland, I guess you consider it the first town in Inland Empire.
Right.
So now I'm IE, I guess. I went from SGV to IE, but I mean, I'm still... You know, SGV I've been since I was 12, so.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So who's the new bass man?
His name's Will.
And what's his history?
He's a blues player. He's actually, it's crazy because he was actually a guitar player. So, and that's kind
of
how.
But Chris, I got to tell you, in the old days there was a lot of that. Because nobody wanted to rock the bass.
Yeah, I know. and that's kind of how the first bass player came on board, like. That's how Angel was with us.
I mean, there's some great bass players that came from that, like Carol Kay and Joe Osborne. They're both guitar players, but since everybody else was playing guitar and they wanted work, they switched over to bass.
Well, yeah, I mean, this kid Will, he's a lot younger than us. He's like 21, so.
Whoa.
You know, he was in a band called Root Smuggler, and they're just like a blues, kind of like a blues, you know, Cream inspired, like. You know, blues, funk, get up, and then...
Yeah, Power Trio?
What'd you say?
Power Trio. I think of Power Trio.
For sure, a Power Trio. And, I mean, he's talented, for sure. He could sing, and he was ripping guitar, and we just known him for, he was just our friend for a long time. We did some shows with him. We went up to Santa Maria with him and stuff like that. So we already kind of had a previous relationship. And then, I don't know, we were working with another guy, but it just kind of didn't work out in the long run. I mean, it was good, but he just couldn't commit. So then we just, you know, Will was there during the making of the record, and we were recording the record, and he was just there a lot. He was just, you know, stepping in.
So,
kind of felt natural, you know. So then we end up getting him on the record. And
when it came to him to make the record, did you have all the songs written?
Pretty much, yeah. We had them pretty much.
So now,
ready to go. Besides, like maybe one or two of them.
Because I'm trying to understand. He wasn't really there for those songs, right?
Not as much. I mean, he was there like towards when we were about to get into the studio. But I mean, from everything. It was mostly just me and George, and then we were just jamming with another guy, and that guy just ended up not being able to commit to it, but he was able to, you know, help us with the bass parts at least.
Oh, you mean on the recording? Like, who's on the bass on the record?
That was the other guy's name. We call him Germ. He's the one that couldn't really commit that we were jamming with for about 8 or 9 months prior to that.
But he's on all the tunes on this new album.
Yeah, he's on all the tunes.
Also, you guys used other instruments, horns and organs.
Yeah.
What was that about?
We had some friends come through and get on some songs who just felt like they deserved a little more than a power trio on some of them. Obviously, there's some cuts on there that it's still just me, George, and bass player, but with the you know, some of the songs like You or Last Week, which is kind of like the single off the record. You know, we felt like some horns would be good, so we brought our friend JJ and an old friend Jordan to do some horn stuff, sax and trombone.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, and then we had another friend from this band Chin Chin. Her name is Janice. She sang on one of the other tunes. I had an idea of like a Tammy Terrell, Marvin Gaye kind of sound in my head, and I wanted to have like a female vocal on one of the songs. So
Yeah,
we did that, and that, I mean, everything sounded really good. And
Chris, let me ask you about the process when you write your songs, you and George.
Yeah, I mean, usually it just comes out from, like, me and him, we spend a lot of time together, so we just be jamming on something, and it sticks, and then we'll just record it on our phone or whatever, you know, little demo record it, and then just listen back, and then sometimes I'll have an idea with the lyrics. Sometimes I'll have an idea with the
melody. I'm going to ask you about the words. Do they usually come last?
I think it scatters, man. Like, honestly, with this last record, I wrote most of the lyrics, like, finalized a lot of them, like during while we were tracking it. But, I mean, from the skeletons, like, usually I'll have most of the melodies in, and I'll have a harmony in my head or whatever, and then that kind of falls together when we start recording the vocals in the studio. But yeah, like this last time, I pretty much had mostly everything, pretty much. I'd say maybe like 75% of it going into the studio, and then 25% of the studio just kind of let it feel natural and whatever felt right to make the words work, you know?
Well, while you were practicing, you probably left space for where the words were going to go anyway, right?
Yeah, but like the direction of the songs and like the subject matter and like everything I wanted to say, like that was already kind of in my head. You know what I mean? Okay. Just, yeah.
What about titles?
Those are just like everyone kind of spitballing back and forth.
But usually like last?
Yeah. Pretty much. Like, well, some of them are stronger. Like Light It Up was a song for my sister. And I always knew that was going to be the name of that song. You know what I mean? Because it's just... it's me and her and kind of like that.
But no, I can relate. For me, Chris, to keep focus, I always come up with the title first.
Yeah. I mean, that's been done too before. I mean, like, even like while we're jamming, we've come up with a title like that. So.
Okay, I mean, what about this tune here I want to play next? Mount Anxiety.
Yeah, that one's just about, I don't know, we wrote a cool, you know, faster song one day at practice.
Yeah.
And then I just wrote the melody, like, while we were jamming it. And then I started doing hot yoga, which is a weird thing for me, but it was cool. And so one day after that, I was just thinking about how I'm always in traffic, and I always get anxiety from it, and it's always, you know, leads to negative bad thoughts and stuff like that. So yeah. Just kind of took, like, the idea of, like, your anxiety is like a mountain. You, like, come up and down it, and you're always going to be going up and down it.
Okay, let's listen.
Open your mouth.
You're under surveillance. here.
You're under,
Survey. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. We started that off with Mount Anxiety, Bodegas, off the new album. And, yeah, Sitting in Traffic, what an inspiration. I can relate. Then M.B. Jones with Under Surveillance. Safe Word, Human Waste. Sasha Bitterlamen with Ideolima. Sorry. Red Party, brand new, out of Chicago with Shadow Dancing. Guided by Voices, No Transmission. Chris Chappelle's Distortion Pedal with Occam's Razor. That's a philosophical trip. Lauren with Paradise Lost. With the Mess Aesthetics, there's Joe Lally. He's back in the U.S. And with Brendan, I think, and another cat, Power Trio. Paper Mice, I think he's jamming with something with Ian, too, he was telling me. Paper Mice, but Don't Worry About the Governor, out of Chicago. Also, Blood Quartet from Barcelona, Velvet Love, Ned Collette with Sunday. That's an Australian guy in Berlin. And finally, Bodegas with Peace of Mind. What do you want to say about Peace of Mind? Peace in Mind.
Yeah, it's just another one of those songs. Like, I feel like a lot of the songs on the record were just like, kind of like when you're going through a bad period, just kind of like just to get you through, you know, like that peace of mind, just kind of about being frustrated, you know, with doing the same thing a lot and not getting the same result, and then kind of having the idea to try to change it up. But in the entire process of being destructive with things, you know, it's like you got to keep some type of peace in your mind, or else you can go off the deep end. So I just kind of, I had the riff for the longest time, the chorus part, and we couldn't figure out, you know, how to put it together. I'm sure you run into that where you
all the time.
You got such a good thing going, and then you're jamming it, and you're just like, I don't know where to go with this thing. And then we had a buddy sit in, and he was like, I just feel like it needs to go, like, a different way.
But, you know, there are some tunes that are just one fucking part. For example, I think Land of a Thousand Dances is one part. Yeah, sure, Harry Nilsson, sure. Lime in the Coconut, I think that's one fucking part.
Yeah, it is.
American Woman.
I was thinking about that for the longest time too. I just wanted to maybe have it fade in, fade out, but then we come up with the there's a bridge in there, with like a riff, a different riff on a bridge, and it just felt right because it took the song into a different place, and then it comes back on the resolve of everything else, and it comes back to the chorus. So I just felt like it was strong enough to kind of get away with it in that way.
Sure.
So really, only one change, but. You know, it kind of felt cool because.
And who was your buddy who suggested that change?
One of the horn players. His name's JJ.
Okay, JJ. Thanks for the
contribution. Like Jackie Mendez.
Now, I was thinking about Peace in Mind because we just lost a brother, Rocky Erickson, and he had this great Rocky song Erickson. Called "The Interpreter," and in there's a lyric inside there where he goes, "Peace I mind," and so I was thinking of you guys. I'm thinking of him. And
You know what's weird is that me and George, our first band, it was called The Spades. And that was Rocky Erickson's first
band. That's right. Before he was in 13th Floor Elevators.
We didn't even ever know about Rocky before we learned about
Houston
Rocky.
Houston guy.
Yeah.
And, but see, that's the trip about music. Many parallel universes.
Yeah, for real.
Now, did any of these tunes start with George, like with a drum lick?
Trying to think.
Maybe the last one.
Burnt.
Yeah, Burnt.
Burnt.
No, because I asked that because I found there's kind of a prejudice in music.
Yeah.
Like against drummers, bass players too. Like you guys don't write songs. For example, there was a jazz cat named Chico Hamilton. And he made this, you know, he made a few records. George Hurley was way in. But anyway, he tried to get songwriting credits. Like, you can't write songs on drums. And I'm thinking, why not?
I think it's pretty, I mean, I've heard of dudes that write songs on drums.
Crombin is a band that they record their drum tracks, and from there,
they start writing and piecing it together, which I thought was pretty unique and cool. And I think that I want to try doing that aspect, doing that.
You know, I'll tell you something, George. A couple of the people I know that made one man records, you know, where they play everything. For example, Stevie Wonder, Dave Grohl. Yeah.
Prince. Didn't Prince do that?
Prince did too. Starting with the drums. Starting with the drums.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. Yeah.
I like that.
You know, from there they built up, right? They end up playing everything, but they start with the drum. Obviously, the drummer, man, you know, they can play everything. Yeah. But ain't that interesting how a serve as a foundation. And these guys, they can see the whole tune in their head, right? It's a one-man band.
Yeah, that's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, really, really interesting about that. And I just think, I don't know if you ever, we played together. You see how I set up on stage. I hate having my drummers in the back. I put them way up front. Raul, I got way up front.
That's Jerry what we try to do with George, but the sound guys always get pissed off at us.
You know what? That was George Hurley. That was a mistake of the Minutemen. I know. Sound men hate it, right? Because you got to move stuff around.
Yeah, they look at you like you're stupid. Like, they just don't want that. They just hate doing it.
But they're just lazy.
Yeah, no, but I've had guys be like, yeah, let's put them in front, you know. And George is in the same line as us. It's just me, you know, it'll be me, and then he's like almost in the same parallel as me on stage. And I like that because we can all hear each other.
You know, I see Max Roach several times. Raymond Pettibone first took me to see him. And he plays in a straight line. He's on the end. Nobody's in front of anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's still being done. I like it. We personally like it when we play like that.
You know, it was a trip of us. Let's see if Max Roach is his count-ins. You know what his count-ins are?
No.
Just Ann. And yeah, you better be ready to go. I guess, you know, there's no tempo or shit. You just play as fast as you can. You know? And I swear to God, he never even say 1-2, man. It was just and.
You played with him? Did you play with him?
No, I've been to a lot of gigs. I saw him maybe 8 or 9 times while he was alive, you know. And actually, you know, in the 50s and 60s, these guys were playing in Hermosa Beach at the Lighthouse. But I only saw him play there once. Most of the time it was up in Hollywood at this place called Catalina's. It was on Cahuenga by that newsstand. And, you know, those, you know, small gigs, you could be like a couple tables from these guys playing their fucking asses off. It's really intense. I owe Raymond so much for that. experience all those gigs. Yeah, because in a strange way, it was a parallel to kind of this arm movement in a trippy way. Playing music that's not really Mersh, you know, just for the love of it. Just playing, yeah. This guy playing the fucking asses. Where did you record this? What was the studio?
We recorded actually in Long Beach, not too far from Pedro.
What? Well, you know what people here? I got to give you a clue. Chris.
Johnny.
I got to give
Johnny
you a clue.
From,
Chris, I got to give you a clue. If you want to make people think that you know about our town, you don't say Pedro. You say Pedro. Even the Latin guys, okay? It's just cause some kind of fucked up thing. But if we hear Pedro, it's like, whoa, this dude's never been here.
Yeah,
I mean, even though it's correct, I understand that. But and I think you're talking about the guy, Johnny from Crystal Antlers? Or
yeah.
Johnny what's it called? Jazz Cats? Or
yeah.
Right. Because Matt Waskovich did a couple projects with my Missing Men and Second Men. And a supposedly really good studio.
Oh, no, it's best we've ever been to.
How long?
We did, like, I think 10 days with him.
Whoa.
But, I mean, a lot of that was, there's like 3 days we mixed, so 6 days.
Sure. 10 days total.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to, we didn't want to rush ourselves.
Yeah, sure.
So we kind of, you know, 10 days. I mean, even then, even that, it was spread out between a couple weeks, though.
That's all right.
But, yeah, it was about 10 days of work.
You know, at the end of the day, it's sound coming out of speakers. They don't really know how it got there.
Yeah, I know. They don't really care either, probably.
Well, some dudes that are way nerded out might. Yeah. I know that you used a Sony Walkman. Okay. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. June 2, 2019 edition Wapito Show. Special guest, Bo Degas. Hold tight for hour 2. June 2, 2019. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Never ever said a word. But not so far from the cliffs of County Clare, on the south, or the corner of Connemara, on the north.
Fairies were in it.
For Pedro show, I was just discussing with George and Chris about Little League and shit. About this one lucky catch, man. I heard the crack of the bat, but the sun was in my eyes. I didn't know where the fuck it was. And I just put my glove up to try to see, and it was like a magnet and just pulled the ball right in. It was like, but the, you know, that was very rare. Most of the time. And the worst feeling is when it gets past you and you have to turn around towards the fence and you can hear the whole fucking pad laughing at you. As you're running.
It's like 15 people watching you chase the ball.
The whole place is laughing. And just the sound changes as your body switches, you know. You turn around to run after the ball because your ears are pointed that way. And it's this weird kind of sound. Like, kind of in a tunnel or something, just laughter and anyway, we started the second hour off with Calling It Deep by the Bodegas. Now, Calling It Deep, I was thinking of a baseball reference, but Chris, what?
Just like calling something deep, like thinking that it's heavier than it really is, but you know, you find out it was never really anything. Kind of that's what I was trying to say with that.
Okay. Now, in baseball, you do it so you don't run into the other motherfucker.
But yeah, that makes sense too. I like that actually more than.
And people, Chris knew 15 years of baseball, so he knows.
Yeah, now it just takes me back to being a little kid.
And we were talking in a way. Maybe it's good training for gigs, because if you can live through the shame of fucking base, little league baseball, then maybe you can take some spitting and cups of piss and bags of shit at a gig. I'll tell you one thing that's tough, though. It was a Flipper gig. Minutemen opened for Flipper. Batteries. Man, you don't want to get hit with batteries.
You were throwing batteries at you?
Yeah. You know, I'll take a loogie. It's kind of not that healthy, but just fucking bad. Especially the D ones, people. Come on. Maybe some AAA.
No one's ever threw a battery at us.
Yeah. Well, I've never been hit with a car battery.
Yeah.
Then we had False Bliss from Scotland, sorry, guys. Tamara de Lempicka, now out of Southern London, with Philip the Gap. Telomere Repair, Roavidel. Shit, I don't know what that means. No one was from too. But Hi-Fi Club out of Toulon, France, with Geography. And finally, Blues by Bodega. Blues! So this must have been like the blues number of the...
it's not a blues song, but it's a blues.
I know, but I was thinking, where did this title come from? Was this the blues too? Because it really don't sound like a blues number.
Yeah, I like that about it. Because I want to make a blues song that didn't have a blues chord progression.
Now, you know about blues as slang. In England, I think Pete Townsend, right? He's talking about when they're mods. What's it called? Quadrophenia's got opera about when they're mods. And mods just found a box of blues. They had a weird kind of stimulant called sulfies, some sulfide shit. So the nickname was sulfies, but they were like blue colors, so they called them blues.
Oh.
So like, if you were in the mid-60s with the mods, and they were talking about the blues, they're talking about pills to make you stay up. Ain't that a trip?
Yeah, no, I heard about that. I never heard about the blues. I heard about reds, and I heard about yellow.
Well, reds were downs.
Yeah,
and that was more of a U.S. thing. In Pedro, they'd say that. And the one good thing about it was the fights at parties where no one got hurt because very slow motion. Bad thing, you puke on, choke on your puke. Yeah, okay. So it's like most things, mixed bag. But it was this kind of a barbiturate called Seconal, and they were red pills. There was yellow ones called Tui's and Rainbows and all kinds of that shit. I never got into them that much, but it was a big a thing. But blues was an England thing for a stimulant. So you just like the fucking idea of contrast, right?
Yeah, I like that idea, and I kind of liked... Yeah, it was really one of those songs about just, like, coming home from work every day, just, like, almost just, like, feeling it. Feeling it. You're going through it.
Feeling it deep.
Yeah. Calling it deep, yeah.
Calling it deep, yeah. Well, what about... I think this guy's in the Bible, right? Nebuchadnezzar?
Oh, yeah. Nebuchadnezzar.
He's like part of the Babylonian thing that put Jewish people in jail. Or brought them back to Babylon, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, but it's also the name of the ship in the Matrix, too.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's more important.
Well, it is the king of Babylon. Like,
yeah, he's the guy who went and destroyed the first temple or some shit.
Yeah.
It only lasted like about 70 years because then the Persians, they thought, hey, Jewish people should get to go back home. So they invaded the Babylonians and put them back. This guy, yeah, besides having a trippy-ass name, I think maybe the Tower of Babel? Right, he tried to build a tower to get to heaven or some shit. And at that time, we were all speaking one language. And because it was such a fucking conceited thing, it got all torn down by the powers that be. And now you're going to have 10 million different languages. So when we say have talk that sounds all screwed up, we say Babel.
Oh, wow.
I think that's where it came. Well, that's what Watt was channeling in there. But let's listen to the tune.
If I could paint, you think I'd be doing this?
Give it a rest.
But I have a bad story about everybody.
Then just shut up.
But somehow I always get it wrong. Somehow the fault's always mine.
What do you want?
Repeating patterns that
fail. What do you want?
Since 1949.
What do you want?
Just don't hurt.
love has grown so strong. Close the shades and cut the phone. How could our love be so wrong? Nobody has to know. Nobody has to know.
Show. Yeah, that's Nebuchadnezzar. And it ain't the Bible thing. It's a reference to Keanu Reeves. I met him. You know, he told me to play bass. He had a band called Dogstar.
Yeah, I've seen a picture of him with a bass.
Yeah, he's really, I mean, this is years ago, but he was really a humble guy. And, yeah, I can't play that well, but, you know, I like playing with my buddies. And I got into this acting thing. Somebody I knew him, maybe Thurston or something. But he seemed like a really nice guy. And like the idea he was on bass. Then we had Chris Butler out of Cleveland, the bitch box. Actually, I think he's living in Akron or Kent, but still Ohio. Healers out of Illinois with Germaphobe. After that, The Fiction out of Strong Beach. Bang. That's got the sound man Chris from Deep Piazzas.
And oh yeah,
Josh Michelle. Yeah, great guy.
Dreadlocks.
Yeah, big dreadlock.
Yeah.
Right. If you ever fell down a manhole and you needed a rope up, just have Chris like pour his hair down there. He'll help you out. And Spain, with Nobody Has to Know Something Live. I played with him a couple nights ago at the Love Song downtown, like
Love Song Barn.
Maine by the Regent. And we did Jump in the Fire, Harry Nilsson, and Everyday People, Sly Stone, Sly and the Family Stone, which is a great tune. The bass is, we were talking about one part, that's just G note, dude. You write it out of town, you know, boom, 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 boom. Here goes a yellow one who won't accept the green. You know that. Actually, I did last year. I'm going to play a grade school in Paramount tomorrow with Tim Kerr and Ray Barbie.
Oh, I like Ray Barbie.
For the fifth time. And last year we did Everyday People.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, sometimes a song just needs one part.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that lately a lot, too.
So, are you already starting to think of the next record?
Yeah.
Well, you probably want to record stuff with the new bass man, right?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. It's, yeah. We've been trying to do that. We got some ideas.
Okay. I want to jump the gun or put any pressure on. what about this tune, Learn a Lesson?
It's about learning your lesson about somebody that you feel like you have kind of run the mill with. Kind of somebody you invested a lot into, but you just feel like you gotta just kind of learn your lesson about.
Oh, I know. You mean like Brer Rabbit, and Brer Fox?
Yeah,
kind of. The Tar Baby, right? You know that story, right? I think it comes from Africa a long time ago. Well, like, you know, they're always after each other, right? So Brer Fox makes this little baby out of tar, you know, puts clothes in, he ain't alive or anything. Anyway, Brer Rabbit goes by, and hey, how you doing? Of course the thing can't talk, but he thinks it's being rude. So he starts socking him up, right? Some chingassos. Well, you know the way tar is, you know, the more you struggle, the more you strangle, you get caught up in it. Yeah. The thing is, though, Brer Fox forgot that rabbits, because it was in a fucking briar patch, you know, thistles, thorns, and rabbits got real slippery fur, you know, so they could actually jump out of them. So Brer Fox thought he had him, but Brer Rabbit got out of there and jumped out. But I mean, the moral of the story is sometimes it's good just to disengage. What do we say? Wash your hands.
Exactly.
Right? Because
the song's wash
you
your hands.
Just can't win because it's like quick mud, quicksand, right? Just dragging you under.
Yeah, that's exactly what that song's about. That's a perfect analogy.
Well, Chris, I can relate. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, June 2, 2019 edition of Walker Peters Show. Special guest, George and Chris Bodegas. Hold tight for hour three. June 2, 2019, it's the third hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
the leaders and were the flags they waved. This is a message for believers. No one will come to your parade.
For Pedro, start the third hour off with Bodegas off their new album doing Drive Slower, which I can fucking relate to big time, even maybe more than Learn a Lesson. Because, well, maybe that's a lesson I'm learning. People are fucking angry and driving like assholes. Let's take care of each other. Whenever we get together on the road, we're actually driving together, people. You know, I know it seems a little different, but man, if we don't trust each other, it's a nightmare. Code Hangers after that with Five Farms. Father Figures out of Phoenix, huh? USS Destroyer. What a trippy name. Crane after that up of Idaho. Army of Prostitutes. And National Debt for a few months there. I thought it was Crane, but it ain't. I don't know who the fuck it is. But I got three CDs from them. It's good music. The Valley. And finally, You. From Bodegas. And you hit me to You earlier, Chris, right?
Yeah. Just pretty straightforward love song.
Yeah. And when you write lyrics for a song, are you hearing you singing them? Or are you hearing listeners hearing them?
Listeners hearing them?
Yeah, in your mind. Are you putting out those words... like, it's kind of like, this is a call. I think Dave Grohl had a song, right? This is a call or something. Like, it's not a private conversation. I'm saying this out loud because I want somebody to hear this.
Yeah, I think that's more right. What do you think, George?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Because, of course, a song is so internal, right? It can be so private, to have so many different meanings, and probably the writer guy or woman knows the best. But then you put it out in the real world, and then people hear it. I remember when I was a boy, Jimmy, what was that song? Purple Haze? And I thought for sure he was saying, excuse me while I kiss this guy. And that was Creedence, too. I thought it was a bad moon rise. He said, oh, no, the bathroom's on the right. Yeah. Hey, the bathroom's on the right. You know.
I actually thought that, too, when I was about, like, 7 years old. I swear I thought that.
From hearing the wrong fucking words. Right? Just let alone the real words. Because, well, that's also kind of what's righteous about it. That keeps it loose. People can write themselves into a song, and they had nothing to do with the writer or the performer.
That's true.
That's a bitching thing about expression. And not just with songs. It could be about paintings or stories.
I've seen movies have the same
thing. Yeah, movies also. Yeah, right. Man, books. Fuck. I'm, you know, a third into the book. How does this motherfucker know me? He wrote me into the story. You know, it's fucking Dante from like 800 years ago.
Yeah.
Look, about this song last week?
Last week.
Tell me, it's probably about last week, right? Well, it was probably the week before you wrote it. Or maybe it's perpetual. It's always about last week. Kind of like Groundhog Day, you know?
Yeah, I think it was just about it's like being thankful, grateful. Just be grateful more. It's like, I know people that are not around anymore.
So be grateful for the life we got.
Pretty much. It's short. You realize how short it is.
Yeah, but I think that's a great sentiment, George. Just listen. I mean, Chris. Sorry, George.
About the world's need, all the money. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Talk about Dodgers. I know Brother Matt's loving that. Yeah, we started the final music for this edition, people. Last week for the Bodegas. Be grateful for the time we got on this fucking stage here. Then Joe Biza with Jason Kahn. Jason Kahn from his old Universal Congress of. He lived in Germany a long time. But he's back here now. I think they're touring. They're going around the country as a duet. A special place that I don't know about. Then Henry Kaiser with Sandy Ewan doing Mokale Mimbi. The album of guitar duos with Henry. Got to do some John Coltrane music with him back February. Dan Francia with I'm Ready for Death. And finally, interesting title from the Bodegas, Cuddle the Knife. You want to say something about that, Chris or George? And George?
I was trying to get George to talk because he doesn't talk that much.
He ain't much of a knife cuddler. I mean, what's the idea behind that?
It's just
be grateful
cool.
for life because you might be cuddling a fucking knife.
The same thing. No, it's about, you know, being taking risks when you know that they might stab you.
Okay. Rolling the dice?
Yeah. Being a little bit irresponsible and then reflecting on that and kind of...
Right.
You know you shouldn't. But
right,
you still...
taking that speed bump at 80 miles an hour, it might be flick.
Yeah.
Especially if you're riding in the back of a pickup.
Yeah, and then I just really like the idea of having something that was kind of an ode to Bo Diddley.
Oh, yeah, music-wise, yeah. Bo Diddley was bitching. And the ladies, right? He had a couple ladies on rhythm guitar through the years.
I have some like bootleg recordings that my friend from Wild Wing, this guy Max, he sent me like all these bootleg recordings, and there's this live show of Bo Diddley, and it's like it's unreal. I didn't know that he had girls playing guitar.
Yeah, rhythm guitar. At the same time. I think there was two different ladies down the years.
Yeah.
I never got to see them play. Whenever I saw Bo, he was by himself. Except the last time because he was in a wheelchair because of stroke. But, man, we owe so much, all us guys doing rock and roll and women doing rock and roll. Yeah, because he's one of the pioneers. Chris, George, future plans for Bodegas? Of course, this new record with the new bass man.
Yeah, just keep doing it. I mean, we're getting older.
What about, you going to tour this album?
I don't know. I mean, we're trying to book a lot of shows, and it's just kind of, it's getting kind of frustrating doing it on our own. So we've been trying to work with like people that want to kind of manage us or be booking people, but it's kind of hasn't been working out. So it's just kind of trial and error at this point. But yeah, I mean, we want to play as much as we can, and we got some merch and
where can people find you on the internet, Chris?
We're on everything. I mean, we're on every social media.
No, but is there a Bodegas website?
Yeah, there's a bodegastheband.com.
Okay, people, that's BODEGASTHEBAND.com.
Yeah, Bodegas the Band, BODEGASTHEBAND.com.
Which is great, because that's like having your own fanzine. You can put your flyers on those other telephone poles, Shitter, Instant Ham, and Fake Look. But having your own fucking thing with no filter, no middleman, right?
Yeah, for sure. We got that. So,
what about the idea of getting in the van and doing a U.S. tour?
I like that idea, but there's just a lot of things that are kind of like in the way of that for us financially because George has a son. Rent's got to get paid and stuff
sure.
So it's risky, but we definitely want to do it. I'm trying to buy a van right now, so I'm kind of saving up to get a van.
Would you consider now for Bodegas, this is kind of a second win?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, we had like some years where we didn't even know if we're going to keep doing it, so feels good right now. I mean, it's still kind of early, but I feel like we're just kind of getting back into the groove of it, really.
So like, let's say young people, like your new bass player's age, they were looking for advice. What would you tell them?
Don't stop. Just keep going. Just keep doing it.
Explain your own journey, right, where it got rough for a bit.
Yeah, because it's not because you want fame or money or anything stupid like that. It's just you got to do it for the love of it.
Sure.
Like, we wouldn't be doing it right now if it wasn't because we didn't love it. You
what
know?
About you, George?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, in the beginning, it was kind of a struggle to play together and really feel like it was all worth it. But then once we kind of, like, just kept doing it, it just felt really right connecting with people and just making moves and making it all happen just was all a process that I felt was just something people need in life and to experience, and it's a good thing.
Sure. And you know, the closest note to your kick drum is the bass player. So what do you think of the new bass man?
The new bass man, he's talented, man. He's got a lot going for him, and he's young, and that's the best thing. That's kind of what we need. Age, you know, obviously people feel like it's just a number, and I think that's true too. And he's motivating us and pushing
us. You get this, George, Chris, I'm going to go out on tour with my missing man.
With Big Nick.
That's right, because Raul can't tour now because he's got a daughter. Big Nick is like only a few months short of 40 years younger than me.
Exactly.
And that's a lot better than the old days, because that would have never fucking happened. So thank God for the new days.
Yeah.
Look, I want to thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Yeah.
What you're doing is inspiring. You know, you get knocked down, but you get back up.
Yeah.
That's bitching. It's beautiful. So thanks again for being on the show, and keep on keeping on. People, it's been the June 2019 edition of the Walk Pedro Show. Special guest, Bodegas. Keep your powder dry.